everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I'm Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
Oh, I was good. And then I remembered we had to do this episode, so yeah, not as good anymore.
I was fine until I watched it.
Then I finished with it. I was like, oh, this sucks. Then I watched our King of the Hill episode for this week, and I was buoyed. My spirit was happy. I was like, yes, this is great. I love this. And then we talked about the King of the Hill episode. I was like, oh, this is even better. And now we're here, and my spirits are back in the dumps.
Now we're here. Hello, we are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. You, out there, listening, for hundreds of episodes you've listened, and yet you haven't given us $1? I won't call you a name, but maybe, hey, $1? $2? We'd really appreciate it.
You don't have to give us money.
You don't have to.
We appreciate it. You get a lot of content. If you can't get enough of me and Robbie complaining constantly, or if you want to go back to a time when we were very complimentary towards The Simpsons.
Hey, Matt, we just did a bonus episode on Inception. We like Inception. We talked a lot about how it's
good.
That's
true.
Yeah. All right. We have someone to thank, Matthew.
Ooh, fantastic.
Ian Webb. Thank you, Ian. I think that's Ian.
Thank you, Ian.
If that's not how I pronounce your name, I apologize. That's my best guess.
Right.
This week's episode is Moonshine River. It's the first episode of season 24. Matt, we're here.
We are. And you know what you do if you want a lot of great, great ratings? Yeah, pull in a whole bunch of guest stars and say, they'll all be part of this episode, and don't tell anyone it's for literally 3 seconds.
Episode PABF21, originally aired September 30th, 2012, written by Tim Long, directed by Bob Anderson, received a 4.8 rating with 8.1 million viewers. The chalkboard gag, I will not wear white after Labor Day, well, the Bart wearing a white suit. It's kind of, I'm pretty sure that is a long ignored, like, fashion advice thing. Like,
yeah, no one's cared about that in 50 years.
You can wear probably more anytime you want to. Couch gag. Homer, Marge, Bart, and Lisa are butterflies that come out of their cocoons and nearly get smashed by Gerald. The baby with one eyebrow. Maggie stops Gerald from smashing the butterfly Simpsons, and all four of them fly off into the sunset. Takes place in the Ayn Rand's babysitting daycare center, whatever it is. It all takes place there. Honestly, Matt, I'll say this. It's the best part of the episode.
Yes, unfortunately true.
This is the first episode of the season, Matt. Season premiere. This is what they do.
Yeah.
Episode guest stars. Ken Burns as himself. Zoe Deschanel as Mary Spuckler. Sarah Michelle Gellar as Gina Vendetti. Anna Hathaway as Jenny. Maurice LaMarche as Charlie Sheen. Don Pardo as an announcer. Natalie Portman as Darcy. Kevin Michael Richardson as drummer. Al Roker as himself. Sarah Silverman as Nikki McKenna. And Marshall Wallace as Edna Krabappel. Yeah, most of those guest stars are literally have a line. One single line. This episode is filler.
This episode is an attempt to cash in on guest stars. Do you think might be a part of the episode for a lot when really it's nothing? Only Zoe Deschanel is really in the episode for more than 10 seconds. And nothing happens. It's just, I don't even know
There's
why.
Just so much dead air in this. There's just so much time where you're like, well, what are we doing? Why are we watching this? It's not just an inciting incident thing. It does take a long time to get going, but there's just multiple like long scenes in this where what are we watching? What are we doing? It can't even tell a single story. Episode begins with a Springfield Grand Prix, which is poorly laid out, poorly planned. We're seeing car crashes and people getting run over and chaos. Because at the same time, we also have the Tour de Springfield, a Grand Prix bicycle race. There's jokes here about race cars and bicycles and, I don't know, stuff. It's just random stuff. It's crap. Just random crap. I don't know how else to describe it.
Yeah.
They make a joke about the bikes and race cars being in a giant metal ball. Like, there's like a bulldozer that's like scraping the streets out of like metal debris. Like, where's the joke, Matt?
I guess because people are getting hurt and ignored when they're hurt, and that's hilarious.
They're just showing things that I'm like, are you trying to tell me a joke? Is this supposed to be a joke here? We have a racer's ball, which is all of them. This is all the drivers and the cyclists are all, I guess, having a ball. Lisa and Milhouse are there dancing on a date, I guess, even though Lisa says it's not a date, whatever. Bart is making fun of them, and this is sort of setting up the plot of this episode. So Bart wants to not, like, Lisa says, like, I have a date, you don't. I'm dancing with somebody, you don't. You aren't. And so Bart starts dancing with Edna. Okay. And then we have, like, Lisa further cutting into Bart, and then a cameo from Mo.
Hey, Lise, your dance partner just made the cover of Dorks Illustrated magazine.
I know that's a zinc, but still, the cover!
Now you listen to me, Bart. Milhouse may not be the perfect date.
Please let there be a butt coming. Please!
But?
Landed it!
At least I'm with someone who tries a little too hard because he really likes me.
Hey, plenty of babes have docked at Puerto de Bardo.
Yeah, for about a week, but as soon as they get to know the real you, they departo de Barto. That's why you're alone tonight.
Oh my God, is that true?
Yes, I'm afraid Lisa's right, son. If the late, great Nora Ephron taught us anything, it's the... Oh, what's my other inflatable doll doing here? What, what? Oh, I ain't here with no one.
Oh, how hilarious. Mo with multiple inflatable girlfriends.
Another good example of the quote-unquote jokes that we're going to get in this episode, Matt. That is the...
Yep.
Mo slicing open or deflating one of his inflatable girlfriends because another inflatable girlfriend is there. Bart goes home. Bart's sad now, Matt. I don't know why. Really? Like, I guess it's because he's alone. He's 10. I guess. Does he think about... Whatever. Bart pulls out... That's going to be the question, Matt. We're going to say it 50 times this episode. Bart's 10 years old. He's a 10-year-old boy.
Yep.
So Bart pulls out a box with pictures of his exes. And this is the point where Matt puts in parentheses in her notes. This is the kind of stuff people in their 30s think about, not 10-year-olds. Yep. 10-year-olds don't get wistful about this. They don't care.
Yeah, also something else I told Robbie after this episode feels like it was written by a 40-year-old man who's trapped in a loveless marriage and looking back on his life and says, well, let me put this through the lens of a 10-year-old. Why?
I never understand it. Like, this is enough to send Bart into this deep spiraling sadness that he's alone. He's a 10-year-old boy. And here's the other problem with this, Matt, because we get a talk with Homer where Homer is, I don't know what, like, as bad as Bart, like, Bart's voice honestly isn't that terrible in this. Homer is unbelievably annoying and obnoxious in this episode and is constantly railing against being, like you said, like, doesn't like that he's married, doesn't like that he has kids, doesn't like anyone. He's suddenly, like, in this episode, he's, like, incredibly misanthropic and doesn't want responsibility at all. And you're like, who is writing these, like, what hacky comedian, like, what stand-up set you got from 1965 did you put into Homer's voice? Homer gives Bart advice about landing a wife. Like, he... It's not even, it's barely advice. It's more just like cynical. It's like a cynical instructional tape. I don't know how to describe it. This leads Bart to visit his old exes. We have momentary blip of all of them in here. Are y'all interested in hearing Natalie Portman, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Anne Hathaway, Sarah Silverman? Well, good news. I have a clip. It has all of them in it.
Eat my shorts!
Drop dead.
Eat fist, jerk. You've got a lot of nerve showing up here and not giving me a kiss. Inappropriate! I miss you. Stalker! Save me!
Mary Speckler, you're my last chance. She's pretty cute for Cletus's daughter.
Yeah, she got to drink milk as a kid instead of white paint.
Is you one of my kids?
No, sir.
Prove it.
A, B, C...
All right, you convince me, Einstein. What you want?
Is Mary here?
I'm afraid Mary done run off. We knows not where.
Dadgummit. Do you think she still likes me?
Hey, Brandy! Does Mary still like this boy?
I don't know what that girl likes anymore. She ran away after we engaged her to old man Wellbottom.
And I was gonna be a good husband, too, if and I ever get out of this well.
All right now. That's enough out of you.
But I just...
Oh, I can't believe she ran away. And this isn't helping. I better switch to the hard stuff. Hey, W.
I know where my sister ran off to. New York City.
New York? That's where Sesame Street is. Do you ever wonder what happens to Oscar on garbage day?
Yep. New York. The big something. This here's her address. Good luck!
I just want to describe what happens there at the end of that clip, Matt.
Just oh, so God, please. Just so please do.
Just so it's clear to our listeners who haven't. You should not watch this episode if you haven't. It's bad. So W, Spuckler, pops out from a hiding place, hands Bart the address. You heard that. Mary's new address in New York City. Then jumps into the, under the hood of a car, I'm pretty sure. He pops the hood and jumps into the engine compartment of a car that's empty. And then the car rolls backwards into a lake and just submerges. And that's the end of that's the end of this act. Is just we watch W. Spuckler just disappear and drown. I guess he's just dead.
Essentially, yes, he's trapped in a car engine underneath the water. So, yep, definitely dead.
Okay, that's one thing I want to because I saw this, man. I watched this. I'm alone in my office watching this episode, and I literally go, what? I speak it aloud because there's no one to hear me except my cat. I'm just like, what? So that's the first thing. Now, this is the second thing. This is a bigger issue with this episode in general. Let's say we put aside the fact that why would a 10-year-old be so wistful about all these quote-unquote failed relationships, the ones that lasted 2 days or whatever. Put that aside. Until this... this is the first question, Matt. It's for you. And we've listened to you, Matt. We've listened to you like tell us intricate trivia. I ask you questions that I think no one on earth would know, and you pull it out somehow. You find a way. You have a mind like a steel trap. I want you. How many of these girlfriends of Bart's, these Bart exes, if I showed you their pictures, their characters. Mm-hmm. How many of them would you be able to name?
Oh, gosh. I think the ones that I remember off the top of my head were Mary Spuckler, of course. Jessica Lovejoy, because it's Golden Years. Gina Vendetti, because it wasn't that far out of the Golden Years. Nikki, whatever, because she has Sarah Silverman's voice. I don't remember her last name, but I remember it was Nikki. And I think that's it. I really can't think of any others that I thought were real. Were any of the others actually part of an episode?
Yeah. Yeah, they were, Matt.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. There's the one that was a teenager and was pregnant and convinced him to run off. I don't remember her name, but I do remember that one, yeah.
Anne Hathaway is Jenny from The Good, the Sad, and the Drugly. Yeah, we have Darcy. And Natalie Portman is Darcy from Little Big Girl.
That's that one, yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember the specifics of how Mary Spuckler and Bart met?
No, not at all.
Or anything that happened in that episode?
Not at all. I just remember her name, and that was it.
But if I asked you about Jessica Lovejoy, you'd be able to tell me a lot, right? A lot of details.
Oh, of course. Yeah. That one I remember very well.
Yeah, of course. You've seen that episode a bunch of times. Because it's good. You enjoy your time watching that episode. You're like, oh, it's funny, and it tells a story. Mary Spuck, like, that's none of these. And, of course, they don't have Jessica Lovejoy in here because they couldn't get Glenn Close.
I thought that was Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep. Am I the only person who ever mixes those two up?
Nope. I 100% get it. I just somehow remembered that this time.
Going close to Meryl Streep. I always it's a crossfire in my brain. So, they couldn't get either. They don't have her. So you have all of these exes from teen year episodes. All these episodes are bad for the most part. The episode that this is focused on Mary Spuckler, I don't remember a thing about Mary Spuckler other than she's Cleus's daughter. I don't remember a thing about that. And you know, I looked up the episode afterward and I went, oh, right. The cow episode, the bull episode.
That's right.
Yeah. You say that, you're like, oh yeah, they have to save a bull and they get married for some reason. You're like, oh, it's just and it turns into nonsense where they have to save Homer from a slaughterhouse. Like, it's not about Bart and Mary. That episode's not about Bart and Mary. It's about saving Homer from a slaughterhouse. It's like it's nonsense. And then this episode tries to sell us on, oh, Bart's so sad. He misses these relationships because he thinks, oh, I have to have something good in me. They have to respect, appreciate something I did, right? Something about me that they liked, which I guess is what this episode is about, even though it's not about that at all. It's not about anything. It tells us this, right? Oh, go Bart. Lisa goes, there's nothing about you people like. That's why they leave. And now Bart's like, I got to go hunt down my exes to find one that will tell me the opposite. It's not about getting back together with an ex. It's about finding self-worth. But it's not about that. They immediately just go off into nonsense, which takes us right into Act 2. 7 minutes and 43 seconds. We go to commercial.
And when we come back, oh, we're ready for some fun stuff. So,
oh, boy.
Bart misses Mary. He puts...
Why?
Good question. But he puts pictures of all of his exes that we know on dolls and screams why at them.
Insane.
It's absolutely insane. He then asks Marge, hey, I really need to go to New York to find her. And Marge correctly points out that, oh, it's so expensive. There's so much money to go to New York. You have plane tickets and hotel money and all this stuff. And Bart is just incredibly sad. We get a joke about Homer hating two buildings in New York and then a pause. And then thankfully it's, you know, old Grand Central Station and Shea Stadium, I think. And I was just like, oh, thank God. I thought it would be so much worse.
Matt, it's not, that doesn't redeem that. They made a 9/11 joke. What are we doing, guys?
I don't want them to redeem it. It was just not nearly as awful as I thought it was going to be. And I was like, whew, there's no redeeming there. There's just, given the quality of the writing in the rest of this episode, I was prepared for them to be very dark.
It is dark, Matt. I don't know what joke you heard. That is a 9/11 joke. The whole joke is the fact they don't say the Twin Towers, but it is still, they are referencing the Twin Towers. It's not, there's no nuance here. That is what this joke is. Them going, it's not actually the Twin Towers. It's these other buildings. No, it's not. You're trying to get away from your own bad jokes. Stop making fun of your own bad jokes.
But Robbie, if they don't make fun of their bad jokes, no one will laugh at their bad jokes.
I know, man.
No one's going to laugh either way, so.
I don't want The Simpsons, please. This is in 2012. I don't want you ever to make 9/11 jokes. You are not the place for 9/11 jokes. Please don't do it. Too late. They already have.
They already have, and they will continue to.
Probably.
Anyway, we get a joke back to a time when Homer was supposedly in New York playing in a jazz club, and Marge was a cigarette girl, and Homer gets in a fight with somebody. It's completely nonsensical, adds nothing to the plot. But eventually, Homer comes into Bart and says, hey, we made an arrangement. We're going to do a house swap with another family. Which one? You still need plane tickets, and plane tickets are egregiously expensive, especially back then. But whatever. But Homer says, we didn't swap our house. We swapped Flanders' house. Which you can't do, but whatever. Some New Yorkers show up to Flanders' house and, hey, they're stereotypical New Yorkers. Woo! Hilarious. Anyway,
what is this for?
Why it's supposed to be jokes, but they're the hackiest jokes I've ever seen.
Like, why are we doing this? Like, there's just, they don't care about how much money the Simpsons have. They haven't cared in a decade. They just, no, you can no. just have them go to New York. It doesn't even, they don't care, but whatever. Now we have a house swap. We never even, here's the other thing, Matt. We literally never see them in this other house.
No, we don't. The joke is entirely there so they could have some stereotypical New Yorkers show up to hassle Flanders. That's the joke. So the Simpsons are in New York, they decide to split up. Lisa and Marge will go do touristy things. Homer and Bart will go and try and find Mary Spuckler. Problem number one, don't ever go anywhere with Homer, unless it's the last thing you can do, because we're going to see why. We see Bart and Homer on the subway between some tough-looking people, and they're nervous and scared, which, it's a subway. Everyone rises. Matt, again, jokes from someone who's never actually been in New York.
Matt, See, that's the thing, Matt. You think this is supposed to be a joke, I don't know what... But then they go, they say, oh, let's take a taxi, and those same guys are in the taxi with them.
And they're not scared. They're just like, oh, yeah, this is fine.
So that's...
Like, what's the joke supposed to be?
That's the thing, Matt, where, if it was about they being scared by these guys and then actually saying, no, we're not scared by these guys, we were going to have a taxi ride with them instead. But it doesn't make any sense. Why? You didn't talk. It's just, again, you're like, what? It's like this idea, they have the barest premise of a joke, and then they never write it. And you're just like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, moving on. At the end of this taxi ride, the driver says, anything you leave in a taxi will never be found again. So Homer tries to leave Bart, who has fallen asleep. I swear to God, whoever wrote this episode, it must be the most miserable person on earth. I hate my wife. I hate my kids. I just want to walk into the ocean, man.
Is this Mrs. Dalloway? It's just so, it's so cynical and so mean. Like, who is this Homer? This isn't Homer. Homer doesn't hate, doesn't want to leave Bart in a taxi. What is this? Oh, whatever.
Thankfully, from here on out, we get a lot less Homer, because we sit on a rocket ride up to what's going to happen for the rest of this episode, because we actually have to get through the plot. So once they get out of the taxi, they're at the place where Mary Spuckler is supposedly living. And Bart is about to ring the bell, and Homer comes up with this wonderful turn of phrase.
I guess my search for true love is doomed.
You've learned a very valuable life lesson, boy, which is that love doesn't exist except briefly between a man and a woman before marriage. After that, it's just hanging out with someone who kind of hates you, but you can't get it together to leave. I'll get us some ice cream.
What's the matter, darling?
Thanks for asking, Duchess. I'm sitting here waiting for a girl that's never gonna show up.
What makes you so sure?
Girls don't like me. I don't really like them yet either, but I think I'm gonna. There's a storm a-brewing down there.
Well, there's a girl a-standing right here. It's me, Mary.
Wow. What are you doing for money?
Well, it's not very steady, and I'm kind of ashamed. I'm a featured player on Saturday Night Live.
Mary Spuckler!
I'm lying. My whole life here is a bunch of lies. I'm just a writer with a performing option.
Let's talk about something else. Something nice.
So, yes, apparently Mary is now working at Saturday Night Live. It's enough to afford her own apartment in New York, which, one, I find hard to believe. But also, she's ashamed of that. Like, how much more right wing can you get in this episode Homer hating his life? Also, I wanted to point out that Homer says that, oh yeah, you'll only find happiness between a man and a woman right before marriage. Like, oh dear God, who is writing this?
I'm glad you're listening, because I don't know what's going on. I literally.
I have to, because every time I turn my attention away for 3 seconds, something awful is said, and I turn back and go, what?
See, I'm like, when Homer just started talking, I just kind of like, you know, I just entered into some sort of like malaise, some sort of like fugue state. Fugue state. I just, you know, I pass. I disassociate for a bit. I think, want to like prescribe some intent to any of all of this. This is just random. All of this episode is just random crap.
I get it. It's entirely random, but it is very obvious the type of person this randomness is coming from.
This is a writer's room, man. Everyone wrote their best New York joke and put it in the episode. That's all this is. No one person put their, maybe the writer's room just, I will say this, they clearly don't care. If this had like a second or third draft, this stuff would be taken out because someone would go, oh, that's mean. Don't put that in there. But no one did. No one reread this. This is a first pass. Everyone said, write down your best New York City joke. We're having an episode in New York City. Everyone did that. And then some person, probably poor Tim Long, had to compile madness from 10 different people and put it in this episode. Because that's all this
is. Oh, wait, real quick. Robbie, real quick. I forgot. The absolute best joke in this episode is the Cloud Collage guy from City of New York versus Homer Simpson now has a giant store or a giant restaurant that used to be a bookstore.
I mean, I will... to be fair, Matt, that might be the only thing I enjoyed in this episode. So,
me too. That's why I'm saying it's the best joke. I know it sounds like sarcasm, but it's because it's pathetic.
Well, it's more. I mean, it is. This is the kind of dark humor that I can appreciate, where a restaurant is like, yeah, we got this space open because the bookstore in it failed. Like, yeah, I get it. It's hard to run a book. Bookstores don't make money usually. To be fair, restaurants don't either, but I mean, I guess this Cloud Collage guy, his Cloud Collage must be really good. That's all I can say. And honestly, Matt, the Homer stuff is not the thing that upsets me in this, because it's still like a human thing. The thing in this is like, why is Mary Spuckler working on SNL? What is this? What is this? This is the actually confounding things to me, Matt. Like, Homer's been mean many times in the show. We hate it every time, but it's not unprecedented. How old is Mary Spuckler? That's my first question.
Robbie, we don't ask questions like that.
I'm asking in right now, Matt. You can't stop me. I'm asking questions.
Ask that question if you want, but there's not a good answer. You know, Robbie, I can tell you the intent behind this joke, and it's very depressing, so hold on. And I could be wrong, but I think the joke is supposed to be that a young girl moves to the city and has to support herself doing something that makes her ashamed. And obviously you can't take Mary Spuckler, who I'm assuming is supposed to be preteen to early teenager, and make it a sex work joke. No, she has to do something that's just, oh, it's totally debasing and disgusting. She has to work for Saturday Night Live. Ew. That is where they were going with that joke.
I mean, I know that, Matt. I just don't like it. Like, it's just no one relates
to
this.
I know, it's awful.
No one really. Who is this joke for? That for 14 comedy writers? Like, that's all this is. Like, it's just written for them. It's so self-indulgent. I hate it.
It's terrible. I hate it as well. Luckily, we're pretty much done here. Now that Bart has finally met Mary at the end of Act 2, we are 12 minutes in, and the only thing left in this act is a joke about a AC unit falling on Homer's head and him trying to strangle a light pole.
You're very generous again with the word joke, Matt.
Yes, joke. Anyway, we go to a commercial for an incredibly short third act.
Yeah, we come back from commercial, 12 minutes and 47 seconds. And I have a clip for you. I have titled this clip, The Entirety of Act 3.
So, what did you do with your dad?
We're safe because you have to climb steps to get up here.
Can't move. No. I thought there was no crime in New York anymore. Giuliani!
Give me some news of Springfield.
They let Sideshow Bob out of prison again. Didn't know they still ran those trains.
How's your mama and your sister?
Trying to find high culture at low prices.
No, Lisa! If you click that turnstile, it'll blow our budget.
Well, without them around, you and I can walk through the city holding hands, just like the men folk do.
I could listen to your twang all day.
Would you care to hear it in song? Because I wrote one about you.
Could I do a rap in the middle of it?
Or you could just listen. Sir, may I borrow your guitar?
Sure. It's the case that makes money.
A boy I knew turned up again. Kinda liked him way back when. Chased him round the livestock pen.
Rolling on my skateboard, pimping like a drug lord.
Well, I'm on the cusp of womanhood, and I like a boy that ain't no good at nothing. Said making me smile. That's part. I
thought my old ways I had shed, but I sure missed his cylinder head. Now that boy is a come to me, oh yes. B-A-R, now where's that T? Where is it? I don't know. Oh, that's Bart. I really like you, Bart Simpson.
I've come to take you back, Mary.
Daddy?
Sorry, honey. Your mother misses you, but she just can't say it. That's because the donkey busted her jaw. She'll be fine. Your mother, too.
Robbie, this is not a great song, but I would rather listen to that song over and over for 20 minutes than watch this episode.
I mean, I agree, Matt. That's the entirety of the third act. We have Sideshow Bob hit by a train. Mary sings a song about Bart. Was Mary a singer in that first episode?
I don't recall. I know Zooey Deschanel is, so that makes sense, but I don't believe so, but I could be wrong.
I mean, again, I don't remember that episode really, so I couldn't tell you. It's just very much like, who is this? Like, we are supposed to buy into the fact that, yeah, she saw something in Bart then, but they got together because Bart gave them a cow or a bull so that the bull would be saved, and then they had to get married. They really didn't have, and maybe they've had other, maybe Mary's been back since then. I don't remember any of this, though. That's the thing. Like, Mary Spuckler is not memorable because all the episodes with Mary Spuckler are not memorable. They're bad, and they are poorly written, and they don't really ever sell Bart and her relationship as being meaningful. And now we have, like, this song, like, she's singing a song, like, oh, yeah, I missed you, and all this, like, why? She never says it, and also, if this episode is about, like, oh, why Bart, the good qualities about Bart, the great things about him that make people like him, if that's what he's searching for, there's nothing in the song, like, they sing about the shape of his head, Matt.
They do. That's a good point. If this episode is supposed to be about Bart coming to terms with why he feels confident that he will find love someday, which is a bit of an outdated concept, but sure, it's something to aim for. We should learn about why these women liked Bart in the first place and why they're upset that they broke up with him. But one, we only get Mary's perspective. She's the only person who likes him. And spoiler for the end of this episode, she's going to say, hey, if anyone wants to change you, let them. So it's awful.
I would also add, Matt, and this is not, this is not really come up in our notes very much, but we keep getting like these cutaways to Marge and Lisa where,
oh God, these are so bad.
They're awful. And it's, and again, there's like three, four of them so far. Every single one is about how New York City is expensive and they don't have any money.
So which, as Robbie pointed out, has not been a problem for The Simpsons in 20 years.
They haven't cared about that in a very long time. But it's more like, it's just like they try and go to a Broadway show, and they have the seats at the Broadway show are like blocked, and they have bad, and like it's in like some, they're buying weird seats, which is again only a joke, you know. If you've tried to go to a Broadway show and buy weird seats, who's this joke for? It's certainly not
people
me.
Who have been touristy in New York, I guess.
I've been a tourist in New York, man. I've never had. This is breaking news. New York City's expensive.
What?
Whoa. And being a tourist, going on vacation is expensive, Matt. You know how I don't understand this joke? Because when I have gone on vacation to New York City and have gone to Broadway shows, just buy normal tickets and go, oh, they are expensive, but that's what we're doing. We want to see.
Oh, yeah. It's very expensive, but you plan for that and you don't go on vacation if you can't afford it.
They can't go on a subway because it's too expensive. And you're like, I'm trying to remember other things they do, but they're just, again, they're completely forgettable. We go to our final commercial of 15 minutes even.
We do. And unfortunately, most of this joke is, or this act is the joke of a Shakespeare in the Park. Because, oh, look, there's Shakespeare in the Park. It's free. there's a huge line. Marge and Lisa get in, but oh no, who are the two families, Robbie? It's the Baldwins and the who?
The Sheen Estevezes.
The Sheen Estevezes are playing the Capulets and the Montagues, but they're feuding, so they can't do Romeo and Juliet.
Matt, we've had less than a minute of Marge and Lisa through this entire episode. End of Act 3 is Cletus coming to New York City and bringing Mary back home. Which, again, we haven't seen zero... There's been zero hints that this is happening, by the way. They've not tried to create any kind of tension with the threat of Cletus coming to reclaim his daughter. Not at all. But okay, this big cliffhanger. Oh, Cletus is here. He's going to take Mary back. I mean, this episode really isn't about that. It's not about Mary trying to find happiness away from Cletus and a bad family. This episode has nothing to do with it, but I guess this is now a plot point. But you know what would be great? We leave on a big cliffhanger. We get, what, 2-3 minutes of Lisa running Shakespeare in the Park?
Oh yeah, Lisa running it and getting in, and eventually the cops step in and shut it down with pepper spray and fire hoses. It's like, oh, okay, I guess.
This is my, like, what is happening? This is terrible. We're still watching this. This is just like minutes of this, Matt. Minutes. Why is this in this episode? Who asked for this?
People who wanted New York jokes, I guess.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is like, oh, who's got a good New York joke? Everyone's like, well, I went to Shakespeare in the Park once and they got canceled. Well, can we work with that? Can we write something about that?
Yeah.
The free show is really, the line is long to get into this free thing. No kidding. I need to slow down. I feel heat. I feel heat in my flames on the side of my face.
Yes, Clue, a much better movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so moving on, we get back to the actual plot, very close to the end now. Cletus and Mary and Bart and Homer are at the NBC Plaza, and just, it's so dumb. It wraps up completely quickly for no reason at all.
Now, Mary, you listen to me. I'm 1/3 your father, and you're gonna come back.
Y'all will excuse me. I gotta freshen up for the ride home.
Enjoy your fancy schmancy in-house for the last time.
I've gotta go.
Go where?
Well, since we're here, I'm gonna go try to get Al Roker's autograph.
Here you go, little fan. Killer storm on the way.
I'm gonna go try to sell this.
I'll buy it back.
Goodbye, Bart. And don't worry. There'll be other Mary Spucklers, including my sisters, Mary Zeke and Mary Not Quite Right. Bart, if any girl tries to fix you, let him, because you got a couple of big problems. But mostly, you're great!
Boy, you tell me where Mary's gone.
I can't.
Boy? You squeal like a piggy for the hillbilly man.
I can't because Mary's the girl that proves that girls can like me. And she wouldn't like me anymore if I gave her up. So I won't, even if you torture me like you do the English language.
Oh, well, if that ain't aren't, isn't. I guess I just gotta let Mary find her own way. Come on, let's head on back to Springfield. One on-getter for the clickety-clack, please.
Yes, one on-getter for the clickety-clack. Don't worry, Robbie. We're not done yet, though.
What?
Because...
No, wait, no, that's the end of the episode, Matt. Right? Please?
You'd think so. Please? You'd think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. We're going to go with this. So they're on the train home. Bart is sad about this because he really liked Mary. Why? Again, we don't know. Why does Mary like him? We don't know. But Bart is sorry about having lost her. And this turns into a conversation about grown-up feelings and how difficult it is, which, hey, you know what would be a really great topic for this whole episode? That. Not any of the rest of this. Like, Bart dealing with complex adult emotions because he's 10 and gonna start puberty soon. But no, of course not. Instead, we get jokes about the New York Post review of Marge and Lisa's Shakespeare in the Park. First of all, it's New York Post. Never, ever care about anything the New York Post says. Secondly, why do we care?
Matt, there's just... Okay, let the flames go. I pulled my head down. There's just nothing here. It's just, again, it's like... And this is not a thing the Simpsons have gotten away from as time has gone by, unfortunately. We still complain about it to this day from time to time. You know, as we are quickly nearing the area where Matt and I have started, season 27 is when Matt and I believe, started watching new episodes, reviewing them on the Patreon. So we are, the window of episodes I am completely in the dark in is closing. But even in those episodes, the Simpsons as a show continually are trying to mine its past, and every single time completely misunderstanding the important things, the things that we remember and care about. And they almost 100% of the time, Matt, they do it as a shortcut because they don't want to write a real episode. They don't want to spend time actually writing an episode. You want to write an episode how Bart doesn't feel like he has anything valuable in him? Okay, they've done that. There are episodes about it, and there's some good episodes about it. They're usually Bart and Marge episodes, not Bart and romantic relationship episodes. The Bart Marge episodes are about Marge recognizing there's still something special in Bart, and he is worth redemption. There's something in there that redeems his bad behavior. But it doesn't make any sense to do it with the romantic relationship episodes because he hasn't had many meaningful ones. The ones he's had were in the golden years. That was a long time ago, and they were never about what's special about Bart because he's 10. They're kids. You don't know anything. It's just like, it's chaos and you end up with somebody because you think they're funny. Like, that's it. This episode is just empty. Like, it's just filled with Homer doing nonsense, Lisa and Marge taking in the middle of, like, the fourth act is supposed to be, like, the big, like, you know, oh, Cletus is back. We're going to get some, like, multiple scenes in a row or we get some growth. No, and instead we get Lisa and Marge doing Shakespeare in the Park, impromptu Shakespeare in the Park, and you're like, again, it becomes very obvious, like I said, this is all just random New York jokes that people wrote down on a long list, and someone had to quickly compile into an episode with some random Bart stuff thrown in. Because I can't name a single thing about Mary, man. She's Cletus' kid. But like, it's like that old gag about, like, describe Star Wars characters without mentioning what they look like or what their job is. And, like, you go, well, what are they? And you're like, oh, well, Luke, he's earnest, he's plucky. Han Solo, he's charming, he's roguish. Right, you can name them, and you try and do that with the prequel characters, the prequel versions of those characters, and you can't because they don't have anything. There's nothing about them beyond what they look like, and like name something about. Give me a character trait that Mary has.
Mary can sing.
That's not a character trait. I can sing, Matt.
She's Cletus's daughter.
Not a character trait. That's the thing. Like, you don't know.
Oh, Rob, you're making this hard on me.
I mean, it is hard. Yeah, I know. It's a difficult thing to write meaningful characters, but that's what I mean. When you write a meaningful character, you can describe them in that way. Oh, they're honest. Oh, they're vindictive. Oh, they're selfish. Oh, they're selfless. Like, it's how you know a character is a character, when you can describe them and see them as fleshed out. They have things about them. Mary is working for SNL. I don't know why. She didn't write comedy unless I'm mistaken about that. But if they mention her writing comedy in other episodes she's been in, well, I completely forgot about it. There's just nothing here. There's just more filler. Season 24 is starting off with a whimper.
Oh, for sure. A whimper at best.
Matt? Oh, we're making the end of the show. Oh. Sorry, go ahead.
Robbie, is this episode broken?
No, you were right the first time with that quick fix idea. Let's see. Quick fix.
Almost certainly, Matt. But I don't know how you write this episode, though. Like, as formulated.
Well, there's
nothing
here to write is the problem.
Yeah, exactly. There's no, like, it doesn't make sense from ground one. Like, why on earth is Bart wistful about exes? He's a 10-year-old. He's had zero meaningful relationships, and that's fine. He's 10 years old. That's the whole point. And, like, this is not the only time they do this. Like, they seem to want to age up these characters without actually doing it. Like, if this is a 16-year-old Bart, you can maybe get by on it. It still doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's something. Mm-hmm. But a 10-year-old Bart, it makes no sense whatsoever. 10-year-olds don't, they're not wistful. Not in this way. They don't care. I don't know what, if you want, like, and they have made the episodes about Bart. Is there something good inside? You know, is there something redeeming in him for his bad behavior? And yes, we've seen that episode. It's good. You know, Marge be not proud. Right off the top of my head, Bart the mother. Right off the top of my head, both Bart and Marge episodes are about that. This is, like, just a bunch of nonsense, and for some reason they wanted to do Breakfast at Tiffany references. I don't know why there's Breakfast at Tiffany's references in this either. Why does Mary have put on a weird voice when she first sees Bart? Oh, it's for us. It's for the audience. Okay, cool. I don't want to fix this episode because it's not an episode. You shouldn't write this one. Come up with a new thing. What should have happened, man, is someone should have gone, well, we could do an episode where, like, Mary Spuckler comes back and Bart doesn't know that he has, like, redeeming qualities, and we use her, and everyone's like, what do you mean? Why do we do that? Oh, they go to New York City again. Why? They already went to New York City. It was a great episode. Do we need to do it again? No. Stop.
We sure don't.
Stop. Come up with a new idea. I don't want to. There's nothing to fix. There's nothing here. Like you said, Matt, there's no here. There's no there.
We're not going to fix this episode because there's nothing to fix, unfortunately.
Deep breath. We can move on to our next segment. It's time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news group is where I ask our friends on the Patreon to leave a review. If you support us at any level on the Patreon, even $1 a month, you can leave your reviews. First from Tim. 15 years after season 9 opened with a family traveling to New York, guess what? They've done it again, only without any of the verve that associated the 97 episode. A bad joke about 9/11, an array of guest stars that don't seem to have any purpose, an inciting incident that isn't funny or really make any sense, and Mo being creepy. All I can say is sigh. At least they more or less stuck to the story, such as it was. Number 417, not canon, pretend this didn't happen. There's a lot of those. From Dara, Sideshow Bob getting Regina George almost made me laugh. Otherwise, what the hell was that? Hey, look, it's the season premiere. Maybe we should do an episode that focuses on the family. Bring new fans in. Get old fans back. Really ring in our 24th season with a bang. Oh, Zoe Deschanel is available? Scrap it. Let's focus on this minor character even the diehard fans will have trouble remembering. Absolutely abysmal. And looking at the next few episode descriptions does not give you much hope. But to keep appearances, this is currently the best episode of season 24. It's also the worst.
So far.
From Taushin, reviewing this episode feels really weird. It shows how hard it is to be impartial when you're rewatching something. I actually noticed that there are a few call forward jokes, and even by itself, it wasn't exactly a comfortable watch given the constant references to past episodes. Opening was basically prating a bunch of Bart's old girlfriends so that they could tell him how much they hate him. Aside the first one, they weren't exactly innocent victims. Even had the 15-year-old that tried to trick him into raising her baby. Her one scene says more about her than her entire episode. Even Mary's parting words to Bart doesn't give me confidence that she actually likes him. The writers really just need to remember that Bart is 10. I don't have any faith in any writer's voice or opinion about any of our main characters. Any of the family. They just don't care. If they do know, like, have an idea of their voice, they don't care because that takes time. From JJ, I don't need to be reminded that there have been multiple episodes about Bart getting a girlfriend over the last 10 seasons, none of which have come close to Bart's girlfriend. 10-year-old should not be worried about where he's going wrong in his relationships. And of all of Bart's forgettable love interests, I don't know why they brought back Mary. The less Spuckle-centric episodes, the better. Of course, the obvious. We already have a New York episode, and it's amazing, so why draw the comparison by sending the family back? A few decent jokes and not offensively bad, but definitely one where the future will hear this exchange. Is this better or worse than Moonshine River? Which one is that?
You're so
you're
true.
You're telling the future, JJ, because I know that's going to happen. It's going to be in like 9 months from now, me and Matt are going to be ranking an episode, and it's like, Moonshine River, is it better than that? And one of us looks it up and goes, oh, it's the one with Mary Spuckler in New York. And be like, oh, God. From Derek, Bart as a character disappeared from the face of the earth at some point during the teen years, never to be seen again. Writers replaced him with the most boring, meek, nothing character, which they try to write teenage, or in this case, midlife crisis adult? Question mark, exclamation point, storylines for it, and it lands like a water balloon filled with some kind of slurry. What kind of slurry are we talking about, Derek? How much cornstarch you got in there? The slew of illustrious guest star voice nondescript girlfriends for Bart in the teen years made for the most hollow of episodes. Even if they weren't complete clunkers, you couldn't get invested regardless because the dang child is 10. Now he's racked up so many failed relationships, he's worried about the trajectory of his love life having been on this mortal coil for a decade. Ugh. And to return to New York, where of course your mind is going to conjure up memories of one of the best episodes ever and present us with this slop, complete with such a tasteless 9/11 joke, is shameful. They have such contempt for the show and the audience. It's not the show that needs to put out of its misery, it's this quote-unquote writing staff. I didn't say it. I just thought it. We can move on to our next segment. It is time for Listener Question of the Week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Our Listener Question of the Week this week is, what is your favorite moment from season 23? Thank you, everyone, for answering. Matt, take it away.
All right, first up from Elliot. Just kidding. I mean, that probably was the best part, but whatever. My main highlight is probably Totally Fun Thing, which I've always had a soft spot for years. Also, The Book Job was also a highlight, and Bart Smells the Roosevelts wasn't bad in hindsight. Not too many good episodes this season. And as a side note, I find season 24 fairly bland looking at the episode list, and 25 has an episode I hate more than the Gaga one. Ooh, the referee episode. But 26 also has one of my favorite episodes in years, Brick Like Me. Well, we've got some stuff to look forward to and some stuff to, you know, dread. So thanks, Elliot. From Tim. So by my three primary metrics, average ranking, number of episodes of Homer's Odyssey, and those deemed canon, this was the best season since 19, but it is still the 20th ranked season overall. As for the question, I'll go for a moment in The Man in the Blue Flannel Pants, when for a passing instant we thought we might just hear Mr. Burton sing Get Off or a sexy MF at karaoke. Alas, it wasn't to be, as he was actually requesting Prince Wilhelm of Prussia. Wow. By the way, the other thing I really like about that scene is that we had a rare glimpse of Homer at his best. It would have been all too common for him to be a jerk about it and say something like, stupid old man. But instead, he encourages Burns to have a good time. And guess what? He does. Incredible what having your most spotlighted character act like a human being can do. It really is amazing, Tim, how hard it is for the writers to have Homer act like a human being. Just a regular guy. You know, that thing he was supposed to be. From Dara, the entire episode of The Book Job, a fun episode that reminded me why I love this show and showing that there is still a diamond in the rough out there. From JJ, the depressed comedian and Totally Fun Thing feels like a joke lifted straight out of the golden years. Hey, so what's the deal with how many Starbucks there used to be, huh? I don't know why that bothered me so much. Huggy kids. Agreed, JJ. From Derek, either Homer singing to the police at the start of one of the two excremental offerings or Lenny's hostile, who the hell are you, to an innocuous coworker in whatever episode it was, who cares? Oh, that would be the Karma episode, the bedwetting episode, though we just did our bonus episode of Inception based on. So, yeah, that one. From Aaron, I really like the Christmas card montage at the beginning of Holidays of Future Past. That was nice. That's true. From Iron Sheik 84, I liked how Marge took the kids to various restaurants and became a food blogger with Bart and Lisa in The Food Wife. As an adult, my brothers and I make it a point to take our parents out to new and exciting places to get them out of the house and enjoy life. From Togustus Home. A fake news headline from Politically Inept with Homer Simpson episode, which aired in 2012, which has aged extremely well. Biden to Republican candidates compared to me am smart. Oh, God. Oh, that hurts a little bit. Robbie, what is your answer?
I mean, I will pick one serious and one joke, meaning something I laughed at, something that I felt that made me feel. And they both are in A Totally Fun Thing. The joke is that hacky comedian. It is maybe the biggest laugh for me in the entire season. So, that's something. That might be tied with. I feel like I'm losing. I've lost it, Matt. Okay, my brain. I'm losing my perspicacity. I'm gonna move on. So, and the other one is the kind of like the old man Bart, like reliving all his memories with. As you throughout through time, the reliving the joy, like it worked. Can we do that every time? No, we can't.
That'd be nice.
We can't make every episode like meaningful and touching. What's your answer, Matt?
It's a toss up. I believe between The Book Job and Totally Fun Thing. Totally Fun Thing feels like an episode, maybe not Golden Years, but Golden Years adjacent, like a season 2 or a season 9 or 10. It feels like an episode where everyone acts human for the most part. And that's good. I want more of that. But I also can't resist a heist episode, and The Book Job is a heist episode where everyone, for the most part, acts like characters in a heist movie. And that's a good backup to them acting like real people. So I don't know that I can pick between the two of those.
They are two oases in the desert.
They are.
We refill our water bottles and let our camels enjoy the shade briefly.
Before we head back out into the desert.
Before we head back out into our long trek. Next week's question, non-Simpsons question. I feel like we're done a lot of Simpsons-related questions later, and not to say we won't go back, but what is your favorite story set in New York City? This could be a book, a movie, a comic book, television show, anything. Favorite story set in New York City. That's a hard question, Matthew. Not to mention that like 90% of all Marvel comics take place in New York City. So that's a big subset of some of my favorite stories. I'll post this question on our Reddit, which is r/TheSimpsonsShow. You can email us at simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com, and I also post the question on our Patreon, patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. We can move on to our next segment. It's time for No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge, where Matt and I each challenge each other with 3 trivia questions, 1 easy, 1 medium, and 1 hard. I am the reigning back-to-back trivia champion. Let's not talk about how many times Matt has done that before. It's very special because it's me, and I'm special. I'm a special little boy. We're back. We're 0-0, Matt. Blank
starting
slate.
Starting over from scratch.
I'm gonna have to. I can't let down my guard even for a moment, Matt. Or you'll demolish me. Can I go back-to-back? Can I do it? A three-peat. Can I become a dynasty is the true question. That's what my goal for this season is. All right, Matt. Are you ready for an easy question?
I am ready.
In Apocalypse Cow, Bart joins what student organization?
I believe it's 4-H.
You are correct.
Okay.
Good job.
If you 4-H or FFA, so you know, figure... 50 chance. All right. Your questions this week are from The Wizard of Evergreen Terrace. In The Wizard of Evergreen Terrace, what famous inventor does Homer idolize?
Thomas Edison.
You are correct.
I don't know if you know about this. Knew this, Matt, about Thomas Edison. Not a really nice guy.
What? I can't believe
that. Kind of a mean guy. Still smart. Nothing against him. He's a smart guy, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Mean, a little mean, kind of a mean man. Killed elephants. Not great.
Mm-hmm.
Your meaning question, Matt. In Apocalypse Cow, we learn the score that Mary received on her DQAT. What was the score?
Oh God, Robbie, come on now. She got a 36.
I'm sorry, Matt. The DQAT, which is the Dairy Queen Aptitude Test, for those who've forgotten at home, it is on the typical SAT scale.
ACT scale.
No, she got a 1580.
It's pretty dang good.
800.
That's also the old SAT scale.
800. There's a new one?
Yeah, they go 2400 now.
What? My life has been shattered into a million pieces.
There's a writing section.
Man, why can't I get that? I would have killed in the writing section. All right. She got 800 in ice cream and 780 in brazier, which I don't know what that means. I don't know if we mentioned that in that episode when we did it, but she gets an 800 on her ice cream. Okay. But then 780 on brazier, B-R-A-Z-I-E-R. Is that like a
thing? It's basically cooking over an open fire, I guess.
Yeah. Is it like, is that a, like, is that dairy? I don't even, like, I don't know what that's referencing. Whatever. What's my medium question, Matt?
Your medium question. What famous TV voice is on the film the family uses to try to cheer Homer up when he feels bad about not being accomplished?
What famous TV voice?
Mm-hmm.
Will you repeat it one more time?
What famous TV voice is on the film the family uses to cheer Homer up? And at the beginning of the episode, Homer realizes he hasn't accomplished as much as he would like to. And the family creates a film for him of all of his accomplishments, such as, you know, going to space, being a heavyweight boxer that almost won the championship. And at the end, a famous TV voice comes on to talk to him and say, hey, you know, your family wanted me to cheer you up. Who is that voice?
They got a cameo. They paid for the cameo. It is... Who would it be? Famous TV voice. Okay, I'm gonna ask you, Matt. You might not answer me. Is it a real person?
I can't answer that without giving it away.
Okay. I mean, they're dead, so it couldn't be them. I was gonna say Mel Blanc, but Mel Blanc was well dead by that point. Casey Kasem.
You're kind of on the right track. It is Kit from Knight Rider.
Oh, Feeny.
Yeah, William Daniels.
Oh, his real name. Oh, mm-hmm. La la, ooh la la. To be fair, he's more than just I can recognize that man's face, Mr. Feeney.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, so, yeah, that was you. Okay, playing a trick on me. Your hard question, Matt. At what farm do 4-H activities take place?
Oh God. What farm? The jokiest farm title I can think of. It is Slaughterhouse Farms.
That's not a bad joke. No, it's unfortunately, Matt, it's not actually a funny name. Cheddar Barrel Farms.
Wow, that is awful. Okay.
I mean, I'm just the messenger.
Your hard question. According to the radio that Homer is listening to in this episode, what is the average life expectancy of the average man? You'll need to be exact to one decimal place.
Oh, near. To one decimal place. 72.4.
You're on the right track again. 76.2.
That seems high.
Homer gets upset because he realizes he's over a halfway there.
So am I, Homer. It's okay. It's all right. All right, Matt and I are tied 1-1 after one episode. It's looking like it's going to be a tight season, guys. Both of us are dialed in. Matt wants revenge.
Mm-hmm. I think I do.
I'm pretty sure that after this episode was done, after we're recording every episode, all Matt does in between episodes is stew. He just thinks.
Yep, I totally think about this between episodes. Mm-hmm.
All that Matt just thinks, he's just thinking the entire time. Like, next week, I'm going to get him. I'm going to get Ravi. I'm going to get answers right. I'm going to pass. We're going to win. That's what Matt thinks about all the time. Very competitive man, Matt is.
That's true.
That's it for trivia. We can move on to our final segment. The segment we end every single episode with. It's time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever is the part of show where Matt and I rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Okie dokie. This is not a very good episode, Matt.
No, but it's not bad. I mean, I think our last week's episode was worse.
I agree, but I don't want to have to watch it either of them ever again to directly confirm that. I think that last week's episode, as repellent as it was more focused because it's just about Lady Gaga.
Yeah,
it's not just, you know, we're not following Random Adventures of Marge and Lisa's. They put on a Broadway production of Shakespeare in the Park for no reason. You know, we know why Lady Gaga's in Springfield. I don't know why Mary Spuckler ran away. Like, they don't even establish that. Like, we don't know why anyone does anything in this episode. However, this episode is not centered around empty hero worship, which is what the Lady Gaga episode is, which is why we ranked it so low. This is in the 400s, I think.
Oh, for sure. I mean, looking at the stuff at the top of the 400s, I would much rather watch the Homer of Seville again, and that's awful.
Really? You think so?
Maybe. Okay. GI Annoyed Grunts above that. I forgot about that one. Okay, maybe.
I think this is better than...
Okay. How I Wet Your Mother is 400. Would you rather watch that or this again?
Oh, Jesus, man. That's a tough one. Can it...
I know, it's hard, right?
I don't want to watch either of them.
Thursdays with AB, No Loan Again, Naturally. Oh,
The Burns and the Bees. I would say this is worse than The Burns and the Bees.
I was thinking the exact same thing. I was on like Lost Horizon and You Can't Always Say What You Want. It's like, those are pretty bad too, but I think I'd rather watch them than this, but maybe that's just
Rednecks rose-colored glasses. Rednecks and Broomsticks, is that a Cletus episode?
That's the one about Moonshine?
That is a Cletus episode. That's the Wiccans.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. I don't know.
It's tough now. A Midsummer's Night's Dream. I don't remember what that is.
Midsummer's Night's Dream.
That's a Cheech and Chong episode. Oh gosh.
That's actually a pretty good comparison point because it's also.
It is
because
I'm having a tough time. I would rather watch this than GI Annoyed Grunt. So I think it solidly goes above.
Yeah, it's definitely better than GI Annoyed Grunt.
That's a tough one.
I just can't. I think this is better than A Midsummer's Night's Dream.
I would think so too. Rednecks and Broomsticks is my sticking point. I think I would rather watch that one than this one. It's tough though.
Yeah, I think you're right, man. No terrible 9/11 jokes in Rednecks and Broomsticks.
That's true.
What a bad joke. I can't. It's not like, my God, what's wrong with y'all? all right, so that's a number 413 on the list, Moonshine River. Right below Rednecks and Broomsticks, right above A Midsummer's Nice Dream. These titles, yo, come on. I'm just like getting killed by them. See, that's 24. That's on the new number 221 in our post Golden Years ranking, which that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. Still, there's 60 worse episodes, 70 worse episodes than this, Matt. 70,
yeah,
70 worse episodes. And I think that's right. That feels right to me. I feel like that's true. I think that's roughly accurate. It's going to be, you know, we're always going to have hemming and hawing about is it worse than this? Is it better than that? But I feel like 70 from the bottom is right for this. We're not done, though, yet, Matt. We have one more thing to do. One more question to answer. And that question is, do we shoot this episode out of the cannon?
The cannon! The cannon! The cannon! The cannon!
Yay! I have one simple question for you, Matt.
Yes, Robbie.
Is there a single thing in this episode that is worth saving?
Not even a little bit. I will cheer the cannon.
Yay! Fire the cannon.
Exactly.
Goodbye. Goodbye forever, Moonshine River. First place is still Homer's Enemy. Last place is still Codependence Day. It may be there a very long time. Maybe forever. Our next episode, Matt. Treehouse of Horror. Treehouse of Horror 33. No, 23. Excuse me. Got mixed up there for a second. 23, which is we get a Apocalypto opening sequence. We get some sort of Frankian black hole Higgs boson segment. We have a Paranormal Activity homage, and we have a Back to the Future / Bill and Ted homage. How you feel?
Iffy at best.
That's probably the right answer. That's next time. John Lovitz is already Ziff comes back.
That's something.
That's something.
Hey, Robbie, did we forget to do our old episode, whether it's canon or not?
Oh, you're right, Matt. Thank you for reminding me. We did forget to do that.
I mean, it's an easy answer to this one in particular, but well, here, you know, I think we have to do it anyway.
I'll do the official thing. We'll rank every episode working our way down from the top list until we have every episode ranked, or sorted, I suppose, not ranked. Sorted, and that is number 184, Mr. Lisa Goes to Washington. Season 3's Mr. Lisa Goes to Washington. That was the Washington, D.C. was built on a fetid swamp filled with corruption or whatever it was. What is, I forget what Lisa's actual essay says. That's an episode we've watched relatively recently. I forget for what reason, Matt. Do you remember why we watched that?
Watched what now?
Mr. Lisa Goes to Washington. We rewatched that recently. Do you remember why?
I don't remember why, no.
I don't either, but it was good still. It absolutely belongs in the canon. It's an episode. It's a season 3 episode, which is it's mostly that's why it's, and it's kind of, I think, honestly, I think a lot of our reasoning for ranking it lower is just it's kind of a bummer. It's good. It's not very, it's not a very pleasing, not a pleasing episode, because it just is worn out to be more and more true, honestly. Corruption in Washington. Poor Lisa is entirely correct about it. So that's a yes. That's an easy yes. What I was saying, Trials of Horror next week. You can find this list on our website, simpsonsshow.com. Links to everything there. You can find me online at Robbie Dorman. My name, Dorman with 1 O, Matt.
1 O.
1 O, Dorman, 1 O. You'll find links to like all my stuff, all my books. Go buy them, please. I'm having trouble with the newest one. It'll be fine. You can go to my web store. Go to my web store, Matt, and you can buy it.
A web store? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I sell my books on my web store. So if you would like a copy of any of my books signed, go to my web store. I'm going to have to redo my whole website soon, but it still works if you'd like a signed copy of one of my books. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him.
Nope. I spend all of my time taking care of kittens. And right now, let me tell you, I have got the cutest kittens that have ever been produced in the history of the universe. They are gaining weight like crazy. And pretty soon, they'll be big enough that you could take one home. If you'd like to see them, maybe try them out before you you take one home for yourself. You can check them out at Kitten Turns, KittenTurns on Instagram or kittenturns.org. And let me warn you. I need to warn you. These are the kitten brightness, the cuteness is so overwhelming. You might need sunglasses. So just be prepared.
Be prepared.
Be prepared.
Be prepared.
Exactly.
Exactly. For us, what is wrong with me today? God almighty. That will do it for us. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And you watch it.
Shh.